him if you're done or not. Okay, I figured. It is a joy to be with you all. I do miss you when I'm away. I was looking forward to going to church, my daughter's church, last Sunday, and they had a staff retreat, so they canceled the service, and they didn't have church on Sunday. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Now, the staff all gets to go away, and they're all encouraged to tune in on TV or online to see a service that they have prepared for the congregation, or to visit another church. It was interesting, a little bizarre to me. I don't like canceling church, but that's what they did. So I got to see Crystal's pastor, Crystal and Josh's pastor, Crystal, Josh, and Emma's pastor. Well, Crystal, Josh, Emma, and Willow, the dog, their pastor. Anyway, it was nice spending time with family, and I appreciate the opportunity. Did you all have fun last week? You had Gordon Sims here, right? I understand he's a wonderful speaker, and I never get to hear the speakers, so when I'm away, but the Lord bless you. This Sunday is all about redeeming the time. You know, this is a new year, and perhaps you've made your New Year's resolutions. How many of you still have those intact? I see no hands. Zero. Oh, there's a hand. It's still intact. And his New Year's resolution is that the Patriots do not win. So he's still intact. The rest of you, you've already, really? No, you don't make resolutions, right? Some of you are going, nope, don't even bother. Why set myself up for disappointment? There's nothing wrong with having a goal. You know, time keeps on ticking, I'm reminded. But also, you can redeem the time that you have. You can exchange it. You can redeem it. You can sanctify it. You can use it for good. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. First of all, we have our manger scene as it ought to be. Finally, well, actually, tomorrow, the Magi gather here at this scene. So we're actually seeing the full manger set here for Epiphany as it set up, as people came to worship the Lord and to give their gifts. This morning, perhaps you need to be reminded that sin has consequences. Did I say that emphatically enough? Sin has consequences! Now somebody's awake. Sin has consequences. You know this, right? That's the bottom line. Sin has consequences. You do not want to be left in sin. We all sin. But to be left in sin, to wallow in sin, that's a different condition. I mean, I remember shoveling some stuff, and it may have gotten on me, but I took a shower, and I felt better afterwards, right? All right. Well, that's what sin is. Sin is that stuff that you don't want to have anything to do with. And God's mercy and grace is there for us. He's the shower. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. All we have to do is repent and be sorry and try to live as he would want us to, and ask for his help in areas that continually trip us up. But when you give up, you're giving into sin and you're living in sin, wallowing in sin, as it were. And you start to stink. I have to be honest with you. You do. You start to stink. If you haven't taken a shower for a while, why don't you take one? If you haven't asked for forgiveness, why don't you do it? I don't know. But sin has consequences. It separates. Sin separates. It always separates. It separates your friends. It can separate you from a job. You steal on the job, you're going to lose your job. It separates you from everything you love. It separates you from your life. Because of your sin, you will die. And you may die an eternal death, separated from God and all your loved ones in heaven for all eternity. Sin separates. It separates us from our families, because you can lose the trust of your spouse, of your children. The respect that they have for you, the love that they have for you is tainted because it's covered in sin, and it separates us from our families. And sin, of course, separates us from a loving, merciful God who loves us. Even Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, felt God's turning his back my God, why have you forsaken me? Darkness was over the face of the earth in those moments. Because the sin of the world was placed upon Jesus, and the holy God could not stand to look upon his son, hanging on the cross, sin-filled. And when he was doing that, when he was going through that abandonment by the Father, it was because of your sin and my sin. Sin separates. But Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins so that we can have forgiveness and a cleanse that washes over us. What can wash away my sin? Oh, the choir knows. Don't you guys sing that song? The choir knows. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We need Jesus. Anyway, redemption is required, and that's why Jesus went to the cross, to pay the penalty of our sin. But this story this morning in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22 to 40, we see that it was time. It was time for the purification rites to be performed for Mary, and for Jesus. Not purification for the baby, but purification for the mother, and that required two sacrifices, a sin offering, a burnt offering, and a sin offering. Both of them had to be made to redeem her, to pay for her sins. For Jesus, it was a different type of redemption that happened. He had to be purchased back from God. All right? I want you to understand this. Mary needed purification according to Leviticus. You know, the Old Testament says that 33 days after a male is born, you got to go and present yourself to the priest, and you can be absolved from your sins and cleansed from the birthing process. I don't know. Does that make a woman unclean? I don't know. My daughter's got to be close to 20-something days after her birth. But Jesus had already been circumcised on the eighth day. This is 33 days later. Mary is having this rite performed for her to be reminded that her sins needed to be washed and cleansed for. Now I'm sure that a righteous woman would daily repent of her sins and, you know, make amends to her family, her husband, whom she yelled at in the middle of childbirth and said, "Don't touch me!" I wonder what Crystal said to Josh. I wasn't there. I'll have to ask Linda when she gets home. But Jesus, a firstborn male child, needed to be bought back from God. You see, the firstborn of any womb, and certainly the sons, are owned by God. They are God's. And according to the law, he had to be bought back. And this you can read about in Numbers chapter 17. 5 shekels of silver is what Joseph had to pay so that his son could be his son. Jesus was God's. Well, you say Jesus was God, and God sent him to the earth, right? God became flesh and dwelt among us. The miracle of the incarnation escapes word and logic. But God became flesh and dwelt among us. And yet, even Jesus had to be redeemed. Jesus had to be circumcised. Jesus had to be redeemed, and Jesus had to be baptized. 3 things that you would think Jesus didn't have to do. But he did so to fulfill all righteousness. He did so because it was the right thing to do, not because of his spiritual sinful state. Of all people that ever lived, Jesus is the one who was perfect, who was sinless, who did not need these rituals, who does not need the sacrifice, and yet he still went through it all. Some of you are saying, "Well, I'm a Christian. I don't need church." You may not need church, but church needs you. And I hate to think of a Christian living on their own with no fellowship, no instruction, no accountability in their life, what they would become, how twisted they could end up being, how dirty and filthy one can get living on your own. And so our fellowship is important. Our meeting here, our worship together, our corporate prayers, and how powerful they are. I can't imagine somebody missing out on all that. But they do all the time. Redemption is required not just for Mary and Joseph. This morning, I want to remind you that it's there for you as well. Jesus, even Jesus, had to be bought back from God. You see, God gave him, and you would think there at the nativity when he's born and he's laid in that manger that God gave his son, right? Perhaps God didn't give his son until right at this moment when Joseph pays those 5 shekels of silver to purchase back Jesus from God so that Jesus could fully identify with mankind and die for the sins of the world as a man and also God. He fully became a man when he was purchased from God because he was still God's until this rite was performed. Anyway, a very minor point. Redeeming time. I'm not talking about redeeming time. I'm talking about a time for redeeming. Today, now, and if you're listening to these words on a Tuesday, today, now, you could hear these words at 4 a.m. on a Friday morning. Today, now, is the time of redemption. It was for Mary and Joseph because the law prescribed 33 days. But whenever you have sinned, whenever you fall short, whenever you have that thought, whenever you say those words, whenever you leave that deed undone, it is time for redemption. It is time for forgiveness. It was time for Mary and Jesus to present themselves to God and to go through the rituals that would remind them of their need for mercy and forgiveness. Today, it's a time for you because you are presenting yourself to God right now. In worship, we are before him in a place that we call his house. It's not his house. It is a building. It is not a church. You are the church. We posted a meme on Facebook this morning on our church page. It said that the church is not a building. It's all of you. I don't know. I can't even remember. But the church goes with us wherever we are because we are the temple that we take with us, right? But right now, we are presenting ourselves to God. It is a time for redemption. We should redeem the time that we have. We should redeem our lives. We should be purchasing back from God our lives, remembering that the only price is death for our sins. And we don't have to pay it because it was already paid by Jesus. Praise the Lord. We don't have to die. Now, we do die because we don't want to live eternally in these worn, tired bodies. I'd rather be given that glorified body in heaven, one that is not afflicted, and live for all eternity in that state. So I'm willing to go through death. I really am. I can hardly wait now. The older I get, I'm so looking forward to it. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. And again, it's a redeeming time. It is a redeeming time. We should be very, very conscious and aware of our need for forgiveness and turn to God always, asking for his mercy and his forgiveness. You know, you might be here with us this morning and you're hearing these words in a different way and you're understanding your need for salvation. You know, we're going to be celebrating communion in just a few moments. There are 2 ways that you can come to this table. One, as a believer, trusting in the Lord Jesus that he died on the cross for your sins. And yes, still a sinner, saved by grace, but a humble and repentant one who's trusting that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And that's partaking of these elements in a worthy manner. Or we can partake of these elements in an unworthy manner. We can come to the table without giving a thought of our relationship to God, nor our sinful state, nor our need for forgiveness. Come with the filth on us. That's an unworthy way of coming to this table. And you can eat and drink condemnation unto yourself without presenting yourself to God and asking for forgiveness and cleansing and putting on the new robe, the new righteousness that is imputed, given to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. He's the perfect one. He died for us. Come to the table right. This communion is something that is open to all, anyone who trusts in Jesus. If you're not trusting in Jesus, I ask that you consider your need for forgiveness and that you take these moments to prepare. Say simply, God, I am a sinner. The pastor's preaching right at me. How did he know? Well, I know because I'm a human too, and we all sin. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. Forgive me. I do believe that Jesus died for me. Boom. You are a Christian. Boom. End of story. End of condemnation. End of death. The love, peace, and joy that was missing from your life will be yours from that moment on for all eternity. And nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, we have the opportunity to prepare for communion, and I would encourage you to sing with us as we sing a Christmas hymn. It's Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, verses 1, 4, and 5, hymn number 82, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne.